I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Talk about feeling trapped. First, the Sunni Muslim extremist known as ISIS captured the second largest city in Iraq, Mosul. That was in June. And since then, Shia militias stepped up to defend Baghdad from a similar fate. Baghdad is now mostly a Shia city, but it's still home to millions of Sunnis. And as Susanna George in Baghdad tells us, they're feeling increasingly isolated as rising sectarian tensions bring back grim memories.
The power is out in Adamiya, but the streets are still packed. Residents in this mostly Sunni enclave fled into cafes, restaurants, and shops. But beneath the lively atmosphere, there's an undeniable current of uncertainty and fear. Just a few blocks away, down an unpaved alley, one family agrees to speak, but only from the privacy of their own living room. Everyone's nervous, double-checking to make sure their full names won't be used, joking that maybe they should just use a Shia name. It's not so good to have a name associated with Sunnis right now in Baghdad. By candle and cell phone light, Salam, who's 23, explains it's been a rough few years for his family. Now the current situation has left them and much of the Sunni community here feeling cornered by Shia militias, Sunni extremists, and an oppressive government. Salam's father was murdered in 2007 during the civil war. The family believes at the hands of a Shia militia. Then, after U.S. troops pulled out of Iraq, Salam says his older brother, who was armed by the U.S. to fight against Al-Qaeda-linked extremists, was arrested and tortured. Initially, the family was able to meet with him and even hired a lawyer, but after a few visits, their requests were denied. It's been close to a year now since they've heard any news of him. These days, Salam says, the situation feels like it did when his father was killed. He says some of the same fighters with the militia that murdered his father are back out patrolling the streets again. He says he feels stuck, reliving past tragedies over and over. He says, we don't have a future. These memories, they're not memories. It's a continuous thing that we're living right now. It's like we're living these memories. When I ask if he blames the Shia for the family's tragedy and the current uncertainty, Salam pauses. He admits, yes. After his father was killed, he was angry and he blamed the Shia. But this time around, he blames the government for the insecurity, specifically Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Other young Sunni men in Salam's neighborhood complain of arbitrary arrests. They tell stories of being harassed at checkpoints and threatened by these increasingly powerful militias. And so many are fleeing. Salam says he's also thought about going away. Two of his friends already have. His mother says she worries every time Salam goes out of the house. After her oldest son was arrested, she says she wanted to sell the house and move to Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdish region. She ended up staying here in Baghdad, hoping he'd be released. Now she wishes she'd just gone. She says nothing is good here. Really, even the good things, if they happen, they don't last. They just go away and fade. The electricity is still out, and from the roof of Salam's home, the view is pitch black. All that's lit is the Abu Hanifa Mosque. Salam turns to me and says, do you think this is life? The way you see right now with the bombings, the kidnappings, and no electricity? He says, we're just like the walking dead. For The World, I'm Susanna George in Baghdad.
Susanna is reporting from Baghdad as part of our partnership with Global Post. You can find more of her stories at PRI.org.